these early verses in the book of Ruth, and in particular to look at verses 6 and 7. Because in these verses we are homing in on the news that Naomi had received from the land of Judah. And we read there in Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Then Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. She heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. This was good news. All those years earlier, she had the sorrow of leaving her friends behind and of going into a foreign land because of famine. So it's good news that now the famine has ceased. The Midianites have been repelled by Gideon, and the Israelites now have peace in their land, and they're able to grow their crops without being molested, and they're able to raise their livestock without fear of it being stolen from them. They no longer need to hide in the caves of the mountains because God has visited them. Good news is received by Naomi while she lives there in Moab, in the midst of all the sorrow that is unfolding in her life, the death of her husband, the death of her two sons. And this is a picture to us of the gospel. The word gospel, it's an old English word, and it simply means good news, good tidings. And this is what Naomi has heard. She's received good tidings. And it's a picture to us of the gospel. The gospel that we have in Jesus Christ. The good news that we have. That there is salvation for sinners who trust in Jesus Christ. Naomi was in a foreign land and she was in trouble. She had had all of this sorrow come upon her because of the lack of faith of her husband and the disobedience of her sons. And she was reaping this fruit of their faithlessness and disobedience. And surely, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, this was reflected in her own life as well. After her husband had died, she could have taken her two sons back to Israel. But she chose not to. She was settled. She was comfortable by this time in Moab. And she too, therefore, showed disobedience and unfaithfulness. But at some point in her life, some good news came to her. This good news that the famine had ceased, that her people, her relatives, her friends back home were now being blessed. And it offered perhaps some hope in the midst of her distress, hope for the future in her own land, among her own people, and with her own God. And sinners are separated from God, not by distance, as Naomi was separated from the people of God and from the temple of God. But we're separated from God by our sin. And it forms a great barrier between us and God. And it brings into our lives all sorts of troubles and distress and bitterness as we go about following our own ideas, as Elimelech did. What a good idea to go down to Moab, where there was plenty, where there was peace, where he could take care of his family. And we follow our own reasoning as he did. And we see all kinds of blessings for us in our life by following certain actions. And we fail to consult God. And we fail to consider what God would have us do. Had Elimelech stopped and paused to think for just a moment, and if he had considered the promises that God had given to his people of a land flowing with milk and honey, unless they departed from him, then he would have seen the connection between the Midianite raids and the disobedience of the people of Israel. And he would have seen that the solution wasn't to run away to Moab, where there was food, but to return to God and to repent of the sins of himself and his people and to plead with God to have mercy on them and to forgive them. And we know from the book of Judges that the people of Israel in general did do just that. Judges 6 tells us how in the time of Gideon, when the Midianites came in and deprived the people of their food, that the people turned to God and they cried out to God. And God raised up Gideon as their leader to deliver them from the Midianites. But by this time, Elimelech was miles away. He was down in Moab. He was comfortable. He was satisfied. And we as sinners can depart from the Lord and from his ways, and we can go our own way, and we can pursue all kinds of grand schemes of bringing happiness into our lives. And it may work for a while, as surely it did for Elimelech for a while, and to his two sons for a while. But will it last? And is it the kind of happiness that is really worthwhile? Or does it just cover up the real problems? Does it avoid the real issues? You see, God has made us, and he has made us to serve him. And it's not a service that is hard. It's not a service that is as to a cruel slave master. The service of God is always for our good. When we serve him as we ought, we bring happiness into our own lives, because God is a God who loves, and God is a God who desires to give good gifts to his children. But we have turned away from God, even as Adam and Eve turned away from God and pursued their own reasoning. They wanted to be wise. They wanted to have knowledge. And they were told that this particular tree would give them wisdom and knowledge. Well, it certainly did give them knowledge of good and evil. Before they had known only good, but they brought evil upon themselves and upon the human race. And we all have just followed in their footsteps. There's not a single person here in this room this morning who hasn't followed the example of Adam and Eve and has fallen into the same kind of faithlessness and disobedience as they did, and as Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and Naomi did. And what we need is to hear good news. Good news that the judgment of God that hangs over us can be removed. Good news that the consequences of our faithlessness and our disobedience can be brushed aside and taken away forever. We need to hear this. And we can hear it. It's a news that has been brought to us for centuries. It's a news that was proclaimed in the Old Testament and made real in the New Testament, and continues to affect the lives of men and women and boys and girls even today. It's good news that transforms lives. It's not simply something that we can hear and rejoice with other people that they have received it, but everyone here in this room this morning can receive what this good news speaks of. The good news of the gospel offers a way back to God and freedom from sin, just as the good news that Naomi heard offered a way back to Bethlehem and freedom from the sufferings that had come into her life. Restoration to her home and to her lands, and with the hope of descendants. This was good news. This is good news for us. But I want you to consider three aspects of this good news this morning. The first is that this good news is to those who are in need. But I think we need to go further than that. The good news is good news to those who realize that they are in need. It would seem, though it's not certain, from the way that the Hebrew is written in verse 6, that Naomi had heard about this good news at some time before she decided to move back to Bethlehem. It tells us there that she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people. Now, the New International Version translates it and says, when she heard, then she went. But it seems from the Hebrew that she had heard this before. She had heard while she was in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited her people. But it was later on that she actually got up and went. You see, it was good news to her, I'm sure, even perhaps when Mahlon and Chilion were still alive. And when things were still reasonably happy. She had lost her husband, yes, but she still had her sons. And she heard while she was there in Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. And that the famine had been broken. The Midianites had been destroyed. And now the people were free again from that oppression. And what good news that was to Naomi to know that her cousin Boaz and all her other relatives there in Bethlehem were free from that harassment from their enemies, and that their lands were being restored to them, and that their stomachs were now full, and there was no fear for them anymore. That was good news for her. But she was still comfortable there in Moab. There was her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, with their two wives, Orpah and Ruth. They were settled. They were okay. It was good news that her relatives were now satisfied. But it didn't make any difference to her until later, when her two sons also were dead and buried, when the full bitterness of their disobedience and her husband's faithlessness began to make its mark on her life. When she began to fully drink the cup that God had poured out for her in her own faithlessness. Then that good news took on a new meaning. It wasn't simply good now that her relatives were happy and no longer hungry. But it began to speak to her. There she was in Moab. And she may have a full stomach, but otherwise her life was empty. Her loved ones were dead. But she remembers, you see, this news from Judah that God had visited her people and given them bread, that he had blessed them once more, that he was revealing himself as their God once more, and they as his people. And this gave her hope. It gave her hope that maybe if she went back to Bethlehem, things would turn around for her. That now that God was active in the lives of his people once more, now that he had turned away from his wrath and was blessing them once more, maybe she could partake of that blessing as well. And maybe just possibly there would be a place for her back in Bethlehem. And that the bitterness that she felt, maybe the edge of that would be taken away. And that she could at least find some comfort among relatives and friends back there. You see, it wasn't until she realized her real need herself that good news really meant anything to her. She was happy for her folks before. But now it took on meaning for her. Maybe her life can be transformed by this good news. And so it is with us. Many of you here this morning have heard the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And you've accepted that news. You've embraced that news. It's been good news to you because you knew your need and you saw the solution in Christ. But there's others of you here this morning, and you've heard this same good news over and over and over again. You've heard it many times as I and others have stood here and proclaimed to you salvation from sin through faith in Jesus Christ. That all you need to do is to turn from your sin, to repent of your sin, and trust in Jesus, in his death for your sins. And you will be saved. But it hasn't been good news to you. At least all the evidence is that it hasn't been good news to you, because you haven't trusted in Christ, and you haven't turned from your sins, and you've just carried on the way that you always have. And perhaps you've thought, well, it's nice that some of these other folks get encouragement from it. But it hasn't affected your life. And the reason it hasn't is because you haven't realized the depth of your need. Oh, yes, you may be able to acknowledge that you're a sinner. There's probably very few people in the whole world who wouldn't acknowledge that. We only have to look at the world and look at our own lives and look within ourselves at our own hearts to realize that we're sinners, that we're not as good as we'd like to be, and not even as good as we make ourselves out to be among our friends and our families. But you haven't felt the depths of your sin. You haven't seen how awful your sin is before a holy God. You haven't done your maths and realized that your sinfulness has put a barrier between you and God, that your waywardness has separated you from the only source of real blessing, and that any hardship that there is in your life, any lack of fulfillment that there is in your life comes not from the circumstances that you find yourself in, not because of the luck of the draw, but because of this separation from God, because you have made God your enemy. And you maybe even try and kid yourself that God is still your friend, that things will all work out okay, because you've heard so often that God is love. And he is love. And that's why you're here this morning. Because God is love. Because he's being patient with you. And he's not treating you as you deserve for your sins. He hasn't cut you off yet. But you see, God is also just. God is righteous and holy. And God cannot abide sin. He cannot have sin in his presence. And though he may be patient for a while, God will not always be this patient. He has warned us that there is coming a day of judgment when you must give account of your sins, when you must make restitution to God for all your disobedience against him. And because your sin is so great against an infinite God, so your punishment will be infinitely great also. But there is this good news, if you will hear it, if you will see your need and respond, you can be saved. You remember the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. This man came running up to Jesus. He was eager to see Jesus. He had a pressing question. What was his question? How can I receive eternal life? And Jesus told him to obey the law, gave him a list of commandments, a list taken from the Ten Commandments. And this rich young ruler responded, "But I've kept them. I've kept them all, even from my youth up." And he may even have kept most, if not all of them, to the letter. He may have never worshipped any other gods. May never have made any images and bowed down to them. May never have taken the name of the Lord in vain. May have always kept the Sabbath. May never have killed or stolen or coveted or borne false witness or committed adultery or any of those great commandments that God has given to us. But that rich young ruler didn't love God with all his heart, soul, mind and strength. And those Ten Commandments are just a commentary on that one great commandment. He had kept them by the letter, but he hadn't kept the spirit of the law. And we see how the Lord demonstrated that by pointing out to him one area in which he may have kept the letter. He may never have coveted other people's possessions, but then he was rich. When he was young and he was a ruler, what more could a young man want? Riches and power. But God told him, Jesus told him to sell all that he had and follow Christ. And then we see a great disparity between his profession of fulfilling the law and his actual obedience and love for God. Where was his love for God if he couldn't sell these earthly possessions to gain eternal life, which was what he was seeking? And he couldn't do it. And he went away a sad man because he refused the offer that Jesus gave to him. Commit yourself wholly to God and you will be saved, was essentially what Jesus was saying. And that's where you can find life, not by following the example of the rich young ruler, but by following the example of someone like Naomi, or even more, someone like Ruth, leaving everything behind them and going back to God. You're invited back to God this morning, to the God who can save you from your sins, to the God who can cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. That is good news to anyone who knows they're in need of it. The other thing I want you to note about this good news is that it speaks to us about a God who cares. God cares for his people. Naomi had heard the news that God had visited her people. He had come back. He had visited them. He had attended to them. He had provided for them. There they were back in Bethlehem, back in Judah, surrounded by the Midianites, having their livestock and their crops stolen away from under their noses. And there was nothing they could do. They were powerless against these people because God wasn't with them. And they cried out to God, and God visited them. He visited them with bread. And throughout the scriptures, bread is a symbol of life. Here they were desperate. Here they were on the verge of death from starvation. And they cried out to God, and God gave them life. He brought that staple of their diet, the bread they so much needed to keep body and soul together. God visited them with blessings. We see the care of God there quite clearly. But we can also see it in Naomi's life and in the events that had happened there in Moab. She was living a life of bitterness now. But it was all part of God's plan, part of God's care for her and for Ruth. What would she have done, as we saw last week or the week before, if God had let Elimelech live? And Mahlon and Kilian. And the chances are they would have forever stayed in Moab and made it their home. When the grandchildren came along, how easy or how difficult it would have been for there to be any change then for Naomi. But God cared for her. He brought just judgment upon Elimelech and upon Mahlon and Kilian. They deserved what they received there in Moab. But we also see here not only a picture of God's justice, but of his care, of his love. That through these circumstances, God was at work. And he brought Naomi to a point where she saw her need. And she heard the good news. And she responded to it. And the people and Naomi, having seen their need and having cried out to God, God blessed them. God helped them. God visited them. And there is no help for sinners apart from God. There is no way that any one of us can find meaning in this life, in this world, aside from God, apart from Jesus Christ. Acts 4 verse 12 tells us quite clearly that there is salvation in no other than Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter where else we may look. You remember the woman who came to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Such a crowd around Jesus, and Jesus cried out, who touched me? She hadn't wanted to make herself known. She was hemorrhaging. She had a flow of blood that had lasted for 12 years. And there was nothing that anyone could do. She had spent all her money trying to find a cure. She had gone to doctor after doctor, just trying to find someone who would be able to stem this flow of blood and give her ease from this pain and from this inconvenience. She looked everywhere. But she only found it when she came to Jesus Christ. And it's a picture to us of where salvation is to be found. We can search all our lives long in all sorts of places. You can look to all the religions of the world. You can try out every different philosophical approach. But you will never find a solution to the problem of sin apart from Jesus Christ. And the reason is simple. The problem of sin has to do with our relationship with God. And there is no one who can set that straight apart from the Son of God, who became a man, who took on flesh and blood and lived in this world that we live in, and represented us before the throne of God and took upon himself the judgment of God. So that those who were at enmity against God can be reconciled to God. Those who had sold themselves into slavery with sin can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and brought back to God. That those who had cut themselves off from God and deserve all his judgment can be adopted into his family. It's through Jesus Christ and through Christ alone. There is no other way that you can be saved from your sins. There is no work that you can do. There is no great feat of bravado that you can perform. There is no penance that you can pay that will bring you back into a right relationship with God. Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary, and all that you need to do is to trust in him. Turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Because God cares and God has provided for your need. But the third thing I want you to notice from this passage is that good news requires a response for it to make any difference. Naomi could have stayed there in Moab, having heard this wonderful news that God had visited her people. But it would have done her no good at all. She could have gone to bed at night, comfortable in the fact that God had blessed Judah. But while she was still in Moab, what difference did it make? She had to move. She had to go. This good news was an invitation to her. It wasn't given in that way. We're simply told that she heard that the Lord had visited her people and blessed them with bread. But it was an invitation. It was as though God was saying to Naomi, Naomi, look, I've come back to your people, to the land that I gave to your fathers. Come back. Come back to Bethlehem. Come back to Judah. Be fed. Be blessed by me. Come and worship me once more. And once Naomi had seen her need and realized what good news this was, she left everything there in Moab and she returned to Bethlehem. Wasn't enough for her to have heard. She had to go. Ruth and Orpah also set out on that road back to Bethlehem. And Ruth went all the way, but as we saw last week, Orpah was too much in love with Moab, too much in love with the life that she had known. She was unwilling to forsake it and to cast in her lot with the people of God and to trust in their God. But Ruth went. Ruth, who had known nothing of the people of Israel, who knew nothing of their God apart from what Naomi had told her, she saw this as an invitation for her as well. And she went with Naomi. And the two of them journeyed from Moab, that perilous journey, back to Bethlehem and to Judah and to home. You need to respond to the invitation that God gives you to trust in Jesus Christ, to be free from your sins. You must turn your back on all that you have known before. All of the lifestyle that you have followed before, in which you've just fed your own desires and pursued your own dreams. And you must now put God first and pursue His desires for you and follow Him. Sinners must respond to the call that they hear if it's to do them any good. Remember how Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night. There recorded for us in John 3. And Jesus spoke to him about the need to be born again. And he spoke to him about the need to believe. And he says there in John 3:18 that those who believe are saved. But those who do not believe are already condemned. Already condemned. You see, you have to do something to be saved. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done. You have to put your trust in Him. But don't think that by doing nothing, everything's going to be okay. By not actually rejecting Jesus outright, that things aren't so bad. By not believing, you reject Jesus Christ. There's no fence to sit on. There's no middle of the road to walk down. There's a choice, one or the other. No in between. Believe and you will be saved. Stay as you are, you're already condemned. What will you do? You here this morning who have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ, do you see your sin? Do you see that you're cast off from God? That He who made you and He who has kept you alive so far and He who has provided for all your daily needs up to this point, you owe Him your allegiance. You owe Him your love. You owe Him your obedience. But you haven't given it to Him. Do you see that that is a great sin? It's a great affront to God. And do you see that this guilt that you bear can be removed by trusting in Jesus Christ? And do you see that by turning your back on your own selfish desires and putting God first in your life, He will freely forgive you of all of your sins, cleanse you from all your unrighteousness, adopt you into His family, and give you a great inheritance of eternal life, yes, but more than that, It's a life that is full. It's a life that is meaningful. It's a life that has everything in it the heart could wish for. The passage in Romans that we heard read to us earlier speaks about the need to hear. And you have heard this morning the way of salvation. It also spoke there about the need to believe and to confess. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And make confession. And you will be cleansed and made righteous. You see, it's the same story from Genesis to Revelation. The same story repeated over and over and over again. And what we have in the book of Ruth is this redemption story played out to us in pictures in a wonderful way. And here in these verses is the message for us that God invites sinners to turn to Him, to go back to Him from their foreign land, to turn from sin and be saved. Will you be saved this morning by turning to Jesus? May God help us all to love Him and trust Him with all our hearts. Amen.